Mitchell Pearce. I'm not sure if you know him, but he's a football, a rugby league player, and he plays for a team called City Roosters. He's respected by his supporters and by his teammates, and he played for New South Wales in Origin. And the coach sees him as a leader and points him as a captain of the team. But at the beginning of the year, Mitchell had acted stupidly and he got intoxicated. He was suspended, fined, and lost his captaincy. And lost his respect from the supporters. But if he was a no-name player and only played for the reserve team, or he was only in a junior position, he wouldn't have made it on the front of the page of Sydney Morning website for a couple of weeks. So, the higher the position, the more is expected from you. And the more will be expected by others of you. And it's just not sports players. As a senior manager of a company, there's a bigger expectation of you to get your work done. This could be staying up late, making sure the project is delivered to your client, and making sure all things are correctly done. The higher you are, more expectation of you. If you are an older sibling of the family, there's a lot more expectation from the parents that you act correctly. I'm the youngest, so I'm school cool. But as an older sibling, you're not to be a bad influence to the younger sibling. You should also look after them at all time. When they do something stupid, who gets punished? The older sibling does. Because the older sibling is to lead the way. And that's the same at church, in God's house. And we can read this in verse 1. James addresses people in leadership. And we can see that it's also about himself. He's in fact one of the apostles of Jesus. Being in a position of teaching, which means a higher judgment, there's a bigger expectation of them. As a teacher, they can lead others to stumble. So they all need to work on godly character as a teacher or as a leader. The thing about this, even if not in a formal position of leadership, is true for all Christians. Because even non-believers will see how we act and what we say to them and to others. From last week's sermon, we don't want to be Christians who's hypocrite, saying one thing and doing the opposite, not acting consistently in what we believe in, as people do see how we live our faith through our daily lives. But by saying that, we are not immune to sin. We all can stumble and also stumble others. But I do want to encourage you not to stop your walk with Christ. Repent and ask for forgiveness. And pick yourself up. Ask a friend to be your walking stick. Because with the help of the Spirit, we all can work on our godly character as a Christian. And with this, James gives us a warning and a solution. But one important part of the body as a Christian, and it's in verse 3 to 6. James addresses the tongue. Here's the warning. It's our tongue, which we use to teach others about God. It's our tongue that we grow others through our speech. And it's our tongue which we read God's revelation to others, which is the scriptures. But with the same tongue, we can also do damage to others. Because the tongue, it's where nasty words come out. Through the tongue, untruthful statement comes out. Through the tongue, harmful gossip comes out and tearing others' people down. And with this, James gives us a couple of examples of how a small item or an object can be so powerful. It's not about the size which counts, but it's the importance of it and what it controls. Like a bit in the horse mouth and the rudder, as James has pointed out. Don't judge on the size of anything, but it's important of it. And in verse 5, James points out that a human body also has many parts, but one important part is the tongue. The tongue is the key that opens the path of destruction. And the passage in James also goes on about the tongue can also be so destructive. It's like a fire that spreads through a forest. It burns everything. It kills everything. It destroys everything. And in verse 8, it says, therefore, it is the tongue that we need to tame, as it controls the way a person speaks and replies to others. Not sure if you guys got any interested in our American presidential nomination. Like it or not, it's in our face right now through the media. And of course, one of the biggest persons making headlines, no other than Donald Trump. One of the richest men in America, wanting to be the next president of America. But do you know that Trump testified that he's a Christian? And says that his walk with the law is a private one. But with this, he personally hasn't asked for God for forgiveness. So figure that one out. Yes, he says he goes to church on Christmas Day, Easter Day, and major occasions. He says, I'll go when I can go. But he says he's a Christian. And but besides all that, look at what comes out from his mouth right now. It really makes you think about what kind of faith he says he has. Or he just wants the votes. Because what he claims, we can say they're a bunch of lies if he calls himself a Christian. Because with the same mouth, with the same tongue, he's saying very dangerous things and damaging things to others. With the same tongue, he's saying nasty words. With the same tongue, he lies and tells untruthful statements. And with the same tongue, he gossips and tears people down. We can really see how damaging his tongue is. But you know what? That's the same for us. To be well liked with our uni peers or college peers, much I say the right things, but with this, are we saying the truth? At work, we act with gentleness and kindness in one hand because you want to show your boss how you can relate to others in your company. But after your boss turns away, you might be saying very nasty words about them and about other people. The real test is really when you are stressed and put under the pump. That's when the cursing and the bad mouthing comes out because your guard is down. And how do you react when you come home after work or had a really bad day at uni? How sharp the tongue can be with your family. How destructive are the things coming out from your mouth towards your family and your close ones in life? And this is a real test. Because it's usually when you are around people close to you that you're really revealed the way you really act. And it's these times that you let your guard down. This happens because you expect it's okay. The things is when you speak harshly and cursing, you're not really being loving to the closest people around you, towards your loved ones, your parents, towards your siblings. But this could be the other way around. At home, you're very godly. But at work, with your friends, you're not patient with them, Do people actually know you are a Christian? Because you don't act like one. Because the way you act, the way you speak, and how your tongue can be so ruthless outside. And both examples are not right. Because you are two-faced about your life. And it's not what we're being told to. We are called to be followers of Christ. Do we put Christianity on and then pull it off in a walk? Are we told to act and be like a Christian only when we feel like it? Pending which side of the bed you woken up in the morning? Do we act as a Christian only when the time is right for us? When life is cruising? When we're not stressful? Or when we're not suffering? Do we act as a Christian only on Sundays as we attend church? Do we act as Christians when we attend community group or just hang out with your brothers and sisters in Christ? And the answer is no. It's a long life commitment. We need to be Christians every day of our life, 24/7. It needs to be lived out in our daily lives, all the time. And the last point we're looking at is in verse 9 to 12. What the tongue really says about us. Do I have a tongue which gives praise to the Lord our Father? Or do I have a tongue which curses, speaks evil and wicked things to men? So why our tongue, we have to praise God, but also with our tongue curse each other? This is what James is pointing out, and also the solution. With this, we need to examine ourselves. Where does our mouth, our tongue, our mind and heart lies? Do we praise or curse? Do we encourage or speak evil? Because this is what James sees in verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? From verse 11, it's saying that both cannot coexist. And with this, we also have a same approach with our tongue. We need to guard our tongue and be aware of what comes out of it. We need to know how dangerous the tongue can be. And we need to know it's a key which can open doors to dangerous paths. And to know about our tongue is where we really stand in our faith. Do our tongue praise or curse? Do our tongue encourage? Or do we speak evil? And with this, James goes further. James goes into the root of why curses and praise comes out of the tongue. Let's have a look in verse 12. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olive, or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The nature of the plant determines the fruit. The fruit bears witness to the nature of the plant. So healthy apple tree, you get juicy, crunchy, delicious apples. An unhealthy tree, you get rotten, worms, black apples. And with this, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, 33, what does he say? Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. And on verse 34, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So why do we curse with our mouths? Why do we say nasty words? Why do we say untruthful statements? And why do we gossip and tear each other down? Jesus explains that it's in the human heart. It's the root of our sin. it's the heart which controls the mouth. It's the heart which controls the tongue. So this means that we can only have a heart which is pleasing to God, or we have a heart which is not pleasing to God. A heart which produces good and righteous fruit, or a heart that produces rotten fruits. A heart which shares light, or a heart which shares darkness. It's like going to a concert. If you go to get tickets to a concert like Taylor Swift, and I know Chong will get them, what do you expect from the concert? Taylor Swift will sing her songs, her performance, not Madonna songs, not Big Bang performance. You are very clear what you're paying for. So for Madonna concert, you'll expect her music. And for Big Bang concert, you'll expect their performance. And we don't expect anything else. Not Taylor Swift or One Direction music. We know what we're getting. And don't expect anything else when we buy those tickets. Probably cost like a couple hundred dollars. So what should we be expecting from yourself? Jesus has already mentioned there are only two kinds of fruits. So to get rid of the root of our sins, our hearts needs to be transformed. What was evil needs to be transformed to what is good and loving. And this is the work of Christ on the cross. And believing in Christ's work is our transformation. Christ's death on the cross replaced our old heart with a new heart. And when we believe in Christ, we also receive the Holy Spirit. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're able to change from our old ways. It's only then we see the fruit of the Spirit. Only then our tongue, which once spoke of nasty words, spoke of ungodly things, told of lies and untruthful things, tore people down, is now a tongue which speaks of love. Now a tongue which speaks the truth. It's now a tongue that encourages others and prays for the Father with glory. So if we proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we say we walk with Christ, we need to watch our tongue. Watch the way we act and watch the way we say. The tongue doesn't control where we walk or what things we should handle, but it does tell us about a person's heart and mind through the way a person speaks. The tongue is controlled by our heart and mind. As the tongue gives a lot away about who we are deep inside us. And with this, let's be a tree that's recognized by its good fruits. Meaning that what we say should be encouraging, growing others, and praising the Lord. This is what we mean to bear fruits for God's kingdom. This reveals a heart which does God's purpose, a heart for the good news to be reached out to the world. So what does tonight's passage teach us? The first thing, as leaders and teachers, and as a Christian, we need to watch our speech very carefully. We need to be blameless. Not just how we talk, but also how we deal with others in life. What we post and write on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you use. How we deal with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. How we deal with people who walks in church. How we deal with people who doesn't know Christ. We need to watch our godliness. But we want to do this not because it's legalism. We do this because we have been transformed in our hearts. A heart which desires God. A heart which wants to please God. With this, let me tell you a story about myself taming my tongue. When I was a young fella, I played a lot of rugby league, rugby union, I played a lot of sports, cricket as an 8-year-old boy. And I play a lot of Aussie sports. But by saying that, there's a lot of swearing and foul words being used on the field, especially when getting to the teenage stage. And yes, I did swear, I swear a lot. And everyone did. And it was just became a habit. But along the way, Christ had become my savior when I was in my 20s. So taming my tongue was one thing I needed to work on. And trust me, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. As I knew it could stumble others, but my speech also didn't glorify God in any ways. And I call myself a Christian. And what was coming out of my mouth? So it was an area where I had to deal with. But if my heart was being transformed by Christ, I knew it was possible with the help of the Spirit. This was my personal struggle, taming the tongue as a young Christian. And you guys might have different struggles, like gossiping, lying, or tearing down others. But I want to encourage you guys, if you do struggle with speech, pray about it and work on it. Because we want a speech that glorifies God. And the last thing we need to look at is in fact the way we say things to other people. How far do we push our jokes? Are our jokes, in fact, being hurtful to others? Sarcasm, maybe. And people take it wrongly. Do we say, it's only a joke? I'm only trolling. It's okay. Or the way we say something to others, in fact, has a double meaning. And turn that person, don't be too serious. I just want to have some fun. But you know what? Why are we pushing these unspoken lines? Why are we poking fun of others? It's not encouraging or growing them at all. Yes, it could be a joke, but I think we can be playing with fire. That might actually start a new fire. So as dangerous as the tongue is, and with the help of the Spirit, we can also use the tongue for good. Use the tongue to do the work of the kingdom. But you can say things which are encouraging to one another. You can say things which are loving and gentle when people are in a time of need. Or use your tongue just to pray for one another. And why not do it today after service? What can I be praying for you? Ask someone, how can we pray for them this week? Ask them what one thing that you can be praying them for this week, is at uni, at work, ask them for a praise point that you can be praying for them. So let's encourage each other and use our tongue to build each other up. Use our tongue to grow each other and use our tongue to praise God with it. Because God has created a tongue for us to use, which is to please him. So now let's use our tongue and worship him as we sing a couple of response songs. Let's pray. As we learn from chapter 3 today, let us be wise how we speak to others around us.